take over the meeting for today. Are there any nominations? Tata Khwarai?
Mudas Tulo Anakwat. Can nominate me most to chair this session.
Okay, sir. Are there any seconders? Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable Moss, can you please come and take your seat? Good morning, honorable members. And good morning, our guests, department and our officials who are here. We have our agenda in front of us. Can we get a proposal to adopt the agenda? Mrs. Van Skalberg, adopt. I think all of us agree. As you know, last Thursday, Parliament is officially opened. On the State of the Nation address, but we already started with the portfolio committee meetings. The chairperson was with us last week and the week before last week, but you never know when sickness comes, then you can't say anything on that. So there's an apology of the chair. I think Jabo already said when we start with the meeting. Then we have apology, Honorable Tapana. He will not able to attend the meeting of today. I don't want to go in detail. And then Mam Sweli is not here in Cape Town for the whole week, so she also put an apology. Then we have apology of the minister, Paul Masatile, for today. They have a cabinet meeting. Then we have also apology of the DM, Dr. Joe Butler. He is attending a constituency meeting. This is the only apology. I know Mrs. Van Skalberg, you're always saying the minister and deputy minister must be in the meeting. Yeah, I didn't see an apology for the DG. If I can be assessed.
Thank you, honorable members. Good morning, honorable members. Morning, Chair. The DG is attending a social cluster meeting at the presidency. So all DGs were requested to actually attend that, and it was compulsory for all of them to attend. So he won't be available today. Thank you.
I will accept that apology, but on a lighter note, if the DG is not here, but then at least the DDG, that the museums and whatever fall on under, he or she must then be present, because that is because of is he or she role to playing oversight to those institutes, and is where they can hear where is the shortcoming, where is the challenges. I mean, this is the way governance is working. So on that one, I don't know is why Sam put up his hand, but I will give you Sam. Over to you, Sam.
I wanted to put an apology of my colleagues, the PLO to DM. She's on study leave.
Thanks, Sam, but I make that point clear. I hope you, the person who presents the department here, mustering really is not acceptable. I think it's 3 years ago, that I think when this Nelson Mandela Museum was with us, if I'm not mistaken, Secretary, and there were some of challenges. We're supposed to hear today from this DDG when we will discuss after the presentation how did they assist this museum. But also, the secretary of the portfolio committee must write that letter to, or whatever, write that letter to, through the department on the issue of the DDG, not to be here, or not even send apology, and it's not acceptable. I mean, we are serious here to, of business, and I mean, Parliament is this year 20 years of democracy in April. So we can continue like business as usual. On the issue of the welcoming, everyone is welcome in this meeting. There's no one is not welcome. All of us is welcome. Even the member I didn't see for a long time is also welcome. That is better. You are welcome in this meeting. And, yeah. But you get a special welcome. So, as we will have this briefing by the Nelson Mandela Museum today, and this Nelson Mandela Museum is a very important museum. And this note that we lost our dad, our father, our comrade, our friend last year. So today, members, in this welcome note, we must be open and friendly and listen very carefully on the presentation and check where can we really assist where they need assistance. Or give directions. We must build the dignity of that museum as we lost our icon last year, because that museum is direct named by his name. On that note, everyone is welcome. So on the introduction, my name is Linda Moss. I'm the whip of the committee, but now I'm elected for the acting chair for this meeting. And then I will hand over to Honorable Van Scarlet to introduce yourself, and then the department, and then the Nelson Mandela Museum delegation to introduce themselves, and then the department, and then the other guests who are sitting here. Over to you, Mrs. Van Scarlet.
My name is Ina van Skalkwyk. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee, and I always like to say that I'm from the Northern Cape.
I'm from Limpopo. My name is Hosi Mwanitwa, representing the African National Congress. Member of this committee, thank you.
D.W. Mavunda, member of this committee.
Pinji Kala, member of this committee.
Hi, I'm Foni Mushwana, member of this committee. from the ANC. Limpopo.
Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. We thank you for the opportunity to come and present here at the Portfolio Committee. I'm heading the delegation from the Department of Arts and Culture, and with me I have my colleague here, Sam Mahatlane. My name is Sakiwe, Dr. Sakiwe Kiso. I'm responsible for monitoring and evaluation and good governance in the Department of Arts and Culture. The Nelson Mandela Museum is represented by the chairperson of council and the CEO. So I will just hand over to them to introduce themselves and then take us through the presentation. Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Nozuko Yokwana. I'm the new chairperson because we only started as a council 1st of November last year. I'm being honored also to be a Nelson Mandela scholar and being a chairperson for the Nelson Mandela. So that's a bonus for the Nelson Mandela to benefit from me. And I'm also coming with my CEO, Mr. Nyengule. So he'll be the one who's going to be leading the discussions and the presentations to the members, to the honorable members today. I thank you.
Thank you very much. I will sort of change the agenda that we first dealing with the breathing by the Nelson Mandela Museum, and then after the discussions on the presentation, and then we will dealing with the minutes of the adoption of the minutes, because we start after 10 and we want to hear productively the presentation of the Nelson. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members of the Committee. Good morning, Delegation from DAC. Good morning, my Chairperson. Chair, this is the presentation. It goes like this: presentation to the Portfolio Committee for Arts and Culture. Today's date is 19 February 2014. The table of contents, it goes like this: Nelson Mandela Museum timeline. Number 2 is vision and mission. 3, Nelson Mandela Museum sites. Nelson Mandela Museum lead programs. Capital projects underway: Bunga and Kunu upgrade. Verso site. Performance review 2012-13. Financial overview 2012-13. Audit outcomes and improvement plan, summary on matters of emphasis, and conclusion. Pertaining to this slide, it talks to the Nelson Mandela timeline. As you can see, starting from, you look into the years, is the establishment of the museum by the year 2000. That was the museum was established. That was the establishment phase, if we can look into the period 2000 up to 2006. Then there's a period 2007 to 2010. That period we classified as the growth. That is where the institution now was developing. That is where the institution now was dealing with physical infrastructure development and so forth and so forth. There's the period 2011 to 2013, that is the recapitalization phase. That is marked by quite a number of issues, one that pertains to the current Bunga building upgrade. So that's a recapitalization as well. Without forgetting the fact that during that period 2000 to 2013, we had been dealing with a living legend. That was the legacy of a living legend. The Long Walk to Freedom was our main programming platform. However, at some point during the end of of 2013, Madiba left us, and that posed a significant challenge to the museum. Now beyond 2013, that is the period 2014, 2016, and beyond, the Nelson Mandela Museum is dealing with the legacy of a posthumous icon. So our data is no longer there. That is why we say, as a museum, we have got a challenge that we'll be dealing with, a repurposed programming, focusing on the living values of Dr. Nelson Mandela. Now we have got a daunting task, a task that deals with ensuring that the legacy of this no longer living icon is still kept in greater heights. The institution's vision and mission, the vision to be the main museum that represents and interprets the life story and values of Nelson Mandela, a product and champion of democracy and freedom. Our mission. The mission of Nelson Mandela Museum is to develop the museum as a site for collection of artifacts, information, knowledge, life experiences of Nelson Mandela. Secondly, to promote the museum as a center of cultural life in the forefront of the restoration of Ubuntu as a pioneering philosophy and a force for the transformation of South African society. Furthermore, to build the Nelson Mandela legacy as a vehicle for social change and nation building. The last bullet on the mission, to promote sustainable community development and self-development through partnerships with local communities and beyond. How Mandela Museum, the core around Mandela Museum. Mandela Museum has got three sides. Those sides, the top picture is the main building, which is the Bunga building. It's at the center of Mthatha. It's the building that is under refurbishment currently. On the far left corner is the Kunu site, known as Nelson Mandela Youth and Heritage Site. That's where the administration currently is at, pending the finalization of the refurbishments at the top building. On the bottom extreme right is the Mvezo site. That is the site where Dr. Nelson Mandela was born. Our lead programs during the financial year 2013-2014. Program objectives, promoting better understanding of the legacy of Nelson Mandela. That's objective number one. The second objective, building and strengthening the brand, the Nelson Mandela Museum brand. If you look on the extreme right, those bullets, I will indicate where the demarcation is. Some they talk to the first bullet, some they talk to the second bullet. Pertaining to the first bullet of better understanding of Nelson Mandela legacy, our flagship programs are, that is an exhibition in conversation, Mandela and Luthuli. That is an exhibition, and that exhibition is roaming around the country currently. Secondly, is another exhibition, Dear Mr. Mandela, Dear Mrs. Parks, Children's Exhibition. As honorable members, I highlighted to the fact that the Kunu site was established as a youth and heritage site. That exhibition is currently there in our premises in Kunu. The second one, Dear Mr. Mandela, Dear Mrs. Rosa Parks, is there in that center, because that center is a center for education. Other flagship program of ours is education and materials development. In that light, as a museum, we've developed a coffee table book, and that coffee table book is selling like hotcakes, to the extent that we would be glad if the portfolio can see to it that somehow the portfolio committee somehow were enhanced in relation to that. It's selling like hotcakes. Thirdly, is the colloquium Once more, the colloquium was held in Kunu. It's always held there in Kunu, in that youth and heritage site. It's usually held on the days in preparation for the Mandela Day. Another fellowship program is the 11th February. The 11th February, honorable members, is the commemoration of two events. When Mandela was released from prison, it was 11th February, as well as the Nelson Mandela Museum was established on the 11th February. So that's another program. The next bullet is the Mandela Day. That is the International Mandela Day, which was declared by UNESCO. The International Mandela Day is the 18th of July, which is the birthday of Utatu Mandela. At that point, that is the cutoff point with bullets that pertain to the program promoting better understanding of Nelson Mandela's legacy. Then with the following ones, they accrue to the second bullet being building and strengthening the Nelson Mandela Museum brand. They start with international and local youth camps. Once more, in the museum, in the Kunu site, we hold international youth camp once a year. There are a local youth camp, but in that local youth camp, it's not confined to locals. It's spreading over throughout Africa. In some instances, it also spreads throughout the world. We also invite some other youth from the world. They come into that camp. And then, pertaining to the international youth camp again, that one takes place in Germany. It takes place after every 2 years. We do attend it. We are being represented in that one. Lastly, are the moving exhibitions. These moving exhibitions I spoke to earlier on. They have moved to Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Western Cape, Eastern Cape. That's our lead programs. Capital projects underway, the Bunga building. This is the Bunga building which is currently under refurbishment. That is our main office. Is still under refurbishment, but currently we're housed at Kunu in terms of management and administration. Bunga upgrade continued. Bunga upgrade has a tender value of 32.3 million. It commenced on 15 November 2011. Completion date, it was earlier on October 2013, but now estimated completion date is 31st March 2014. Project is currently sitting at 98% finish. The project is currently delayed due to variations still pending approval by the Department of Public Works. This is the second capital project. This is the Kunu Nelson Mandela Youth and Heritage Center, which is in Kunu. This is a very, very beautiful place, honorable members, to the extent that I invite the committee to go and see that place. It's out of this world. Oh, thank you, Chair.
I just want to say we was there. It's not for the funeral. We as a committee to oversight in 2011, if I'm not mistaken, or 2012. In August month, we was there in August month there in 2011, yeah. When we even visited Tata Madiba at his home, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Chair. That place is a marvel to see.
And only 4 of you went inside the building. What would you know?
Okay, thanks, Chair. So the Kunu upgrade received 15 million grant from DAC. This project has not yet taken off due to technical challenges faced by the museum. However, the challenges have been addressed. how a strategic partnership between Nelson Mandela Museum and Kuga took place, and that meeting took place in Kuga yesterday. We were in Kuga yesterday together with the chairperson to strike this kind of a deal. That project will be swimming because it had been drowning. It will be swimming from today onwards. The Mvezo, this is the Mvezo site where Mandela was born. Acknowledgement of Mvezo site as a third site for NMM is the third site for NMM. We acknowledge that because that's where Mvezo, being the birthplace of Tata Nelson Mandela. Currently, no close working relations with the heritage site due to misunderstanding on the 18 million that was coming from the National Lotteries Fund. And the new council has decided to embark on a revival of the relations and extensive engagement with Chief Zolivelile. That is a very good move. Performance review. 2012-2013 APP. On the left, we've got programs. On the right, we've got performance outcomes. Once more, you know, when you take the memory stick from one computer to another computer, there is disfiguration in terms of the congruence of the bullets. So I will try to highlight which ones accrue to which program. Program number one is documenting museum artifacts. Performance outcome in relation to that one, electronic catalog cards had been developed. Research on artifacts concluded 196 more objects were acquired. Next program, increasing knowledge of the museum collection. Or the second one relates to the research on artifacts conducted, 196 more projects acquired. Third program, promoting good citizenship and leadership through conferences. Conference on archives was held in partnerships with the universities of Fort Hare and Western Cape, and together with the National Heritage Council. Yes, that conference took place in late 2012. It was a conference on the deepening of democracy on archiving. International Youth Camp. The international camp was held in Germany, and a camp magazine was developed as a outcome. Arts incubator workshop held in Kunu. With arts incubator workshop, honorable members, various youths from various communities, they are brought into the Kunu Youth and Heritage Sites. They are being trained or mentored in terms of the development of certain art products, and then they develop those art products. Some of them are still there in Kunu. We still have them. That is that kind of the arts incubator. They are trained on arts. Printed 60 coffee table books. Long Walk to Freedom is the coffee table book I was referring to when I was talking about the hot cakes. I don't know whether it's muffins or hot cakes or what, but it's selling like that. Promoting a better understanding of Nelson Mandela legacy. Educational material was distributed to 51 schools. In that light, the target was 50 schools, but it was distributed to 51. School outreach workshops held for 3 schools. We move. The next program, building Nelson Mandela Museum brand. In that light, what we did, we exhibited in the Durban Tourism Indaba, May 2012. The staff attended Tourism Skills Expo in September. That's the outcome. The next one, strengthening Nelson Mandela Museum communication. In that light, the Nelson Mandela Museum featured 63 times on internet and 121 times in the print media. Secondly, 4 additional newsletters were developed for the youth camp. In that light, the target was 4, but we achieved 8. Performance review, continued. Performance targets accomplished were 47%. 2012-2013 APP is characterized by a misalignment between the strategic objective, organizational structure not supportive of the business strategy. Appointment of a new councillor on 1st November 2023 with a new vision and imperatives on service delivery is a new kind of a panacea to that kind of a situation. New council to hold a strategic planning session by March 2014 that shall take into account the renewal of the vision of NMM, the repositioning of NMM post-Madiba, trying to say during the time when Madiba is no longer with us, the museum has got to be repositioned because we're dealing with a living legend. Currently, what the legend is no more living. Now we're dealing with a posthumous legend. So the council has got a vision of repositioning the Nelson Mandela Museum. Nelson Mandela Museum, multi-year funding, that kind of a slide just talks to the issue of how the museum, in terms of its grants, it grew from year on year on year. If I can mention the first year, 2000, the museum got a grant funding of, during its inception, a grant funding of $2 million. If you look to 2013, the museum's grant funding was around 19 million. I'm not exactly sure about the cents, but it's around. So that is a progressive kind of ratio, the issue of Nelson Mandela Museum funding by our mother, that is DAC. Financial overview, 2012-13. If we look to the first two bar graphs, one with 19 million, the other with 18 million, there is a slight decrease in terms of government transfers from 19 million to 18 million in that financial year, that is in terms of grant funding. The next two bar graphs, the one with 715,000, 759, and the other with 609,061. Those ones, they relate to income generated within the museum. At Kunu, honorable members, we've got an accommodation facility, we've got a conference facility, and so forth and so forth. That's where we generate our own income. But if you look into that 715 to 609, it declined by 50%. The reason for that decline is this, that during the month of July, we block our premises. We don't take any bookings because we are hosting all those colloquiums, the youth camps, and so forth, because that is the Mandela month. So we don't earn more revenue. Then that's the essence of the decline. And we have on the extreme right that round kind of pie chart. That is the distribution of our income. 47% of our income, which is a big chunk, is consumed by human resource budget, human resource, that is salaries and so forth. 27% of our budget goes to programming, and 26% it goes to administration. We still have a challenge, honorable members of the committee, a challenge to up our programming. That's the kind of challenge we have. Financial overall, this kind of slide is an explanation of those decreases. It's kind of explaining that the grant funding decreased by 5.2% during that, those in between those periods, and then it also decreased the income generated from the museum. It decreased by 15% during those, notwithstanding the fact that our heritage is our core business. That accrues to the notion that the heritage as our core business gets 25% of that big cake. Audit outcomes, 2012-13, The institution obtained an unqualified audit report. Second bullet, audit improvement plan for the matter of emphasis are detailed in the next slide. This is the summary of the key matters of emphasis. I will have to go line by line with that slide. I don't know whether you allow me, Chair.
I will allow you.
Oh, thanks, Chair. On governance and leadership, that was what was expected. Strategic planning and alignment of AAP to ensure that internal systems can provide evidence of actual performance against target. Secondly, evaluation of audit committee by council did not take place. That's the kind of the finding. How NMM wishes to address that, that is our plan. That is the block below. New council is in place and committees, including audit committee, have been revamped. Strategic plan review planned and APP alignment to strategy. Resources and systems, a focus area. Thirdly, committee charters, including committee evaluation frameworks reviewed. Just typical to mention a few in the last council, last weekend, the audit committee charter had been approved by council. Just to mention one example, financial management and general administration. Financial management and administration, supply chain management, irregularities, inadequate record keeping of information. What's the plan? Reviewing capability in the financial management area of the institution in order to improve skills and competencies. So in that process of improving skills, we've got interventions. Some of the interventions are short run, some intermediate, some long run. To cite the short run interventions, last week we had sent to the accountant and the supply chain manager to a training. They had the training in relation to the skills improvement. New council adopting zero tolerance to irregular expenditure and lack of discipline. That's the plan. Capacitated finance division will improve. That's the current intervention which I was talking to of the finance people being sent to a training, that's capacitating them to improve reporting. The third column on the extreme right, internal controls and risk management. Inadequate risk management system and discipline, lack of action to deal with irregular expenditure and breach of policies, the plan, risk assessment and profiling has been done, risk management plan has been developed, risk champion has been appointed, consequentially, disciplinary action has been taken. In conclusion, the executive authority had appointed a new accounting authority, which is Council for the Museum, which commenced its duties in 1st November 2013. The accounting authority is at an elementary stage of a transition period, in terms of which we are now dealing with the legacy of a posthumous icon. Just expanding on that one, the accounting authority indeed is in the transition period. It's at a period whereby it's kind of studying the museum, the institution, studying the policy in the situation, studying the policy gap in the situation, the issues that relate to misalignment between strategic plan and APP and so forth and so forth. So that's the transition phase. Honorable members, you must bear in mind that the transition phase has got its own kind of a timeline. It's not an overnight thing, but it's a short-run thing. The second paragraph, the following committees have been appointed, finance, audit, content, and institutional development for the purpose of dealing with issues raised by AG with a strong focus on financial and organizational performance. Furthermore, a business process re-engineering is on the cards that shall focus on 1, strategic direction, a new vision, new organizational structure, audit improvement plan, institutionalizing the long walk to freedom gift. Once more, honorable members, the long walk to freedom, there were people who were developing a feeling. And that film is called Long Walk to Freedom. It's recently released, if I may recall, it could be last year, November or October, okay. Somewhere there. Yes. Then in that light, honorable members, the Nelson Mandela Museum had the grace of being donated to all those sets which the film was being developed, whatever, documented and so forth, who had been donated to all that. And that currently is in transit, is being transported to the museum. And that is the greatest of all in terms of the development of the Kunu Youth and Heritage Site, because that kind of structure will be established there in Kunu. As a museum, once more, in relation to that issue, the museum had developed an architectural plan, and that architectural plan is costed. The office of the chairperson, together with the office of the CEO, is currently fundraising for that structure. That structure costs an amount of 35.6 million. So we'll be having that kind of exhibition in Kunu. The content of that exhibition, Honorable Chair, it's one, the High Court that sentenced Mandela in Pretoria. Two is Nelson Mandela's cell in Robben Island. Three is the reception area in Robben Island. Four is the family museum, the Mandela House that is in Vilakazi Street. It's all those four. They will be housed inside that kind of, they will be the exhibition housed in that long walk to freedom. And that will be kind of create some euphoria and excitement, you know, around in that. People will have a sense and an experience, a live experience of experiencing all those things that were in Pretoria, Cape Town and so forth. They will now have a live experience in terms of visiting and seeing all the stuff like that. That's what we're proud of around the issue of the long walk to freedom. Where was I? Long walk to freedom. Aggressive marketing that takes into account the digitalization and document management and archiving. Once more in that light, honorable members, institution has got a challenge more in relation to document management and archiving, to the extent that our way forward in relation to that issue is in the processes of the institutional process re-engineering, we'll have to, amongst other things, incorporate the introduction and the development of a registry. We'd have to have a registry there so that we can have professional document management. Lastly, is the bullet that talks to fundraising, which I've enunciated unto when I was saying the long walk to freedom, we're fundraising, the office of the chairperson together with the office of the CEO and other council members. We are at an elementary phase of this fundraising. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, are you satisfied?
Yes, thank you. Okay. It's a reflection of what you wanted to present to this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Members, there is the presentation. You can now engage in the presentation, but we must have tea at 11 o'clock, but I don't know how much we take it now because there's still 7 minutes. I think when it comes for the responding, then we can do it after the tea break.
Sorry, Chair, I just want to get clarity on something before we ask questions. We seem to have two presentations here. The one we received yesterday on the improvement, the governance improvement plan and audit findings. But that is not the same as the one you presented today. So I just want to know, do we have two presentations there?
If you can assist us, Chairperson of the Nelson Mandela Museum.
I don't know what has happened, Chair, but this is the latest presentation that we developed. And I'm not sure, maybe the CEO can really explain through its development. Thank you.
Can I just respond to that? There has been a problem. The portfolio committee sets a date for the submission of reports and presentation that will be done in the subsequent week. The deadline is usually, we have submitted a week before the meeting, isn't it? So what happened was that we got that presentation as a department, that first presentation, so that we can meet the deadline. But then on reviewing that presentation as a department, we felt that more work needs to be done on that presentation. And as such, we felt that now if we take this presentation to Parliament, basically we will not be assisting Parliament with what they want to know about the museum. So we then requested the museum to rework that submission, that presentation, and we spoke to the chairperson and the CEO, and they did meet as a group to then work on a presentation over a weekend. So we apologize to the committee. This is something that we're just going to try and prevent going forward. The presentation that was just made today is the actual presentation, which we only sent very late yesterday. So it is our fault. The fault is on our side as a department, as a museum, and we take full responsibility for that. And we will try to make sure that it does not happen again. Thank you.
Mamitwa, and then Honorable Muswana, and then Tata Korai, and then Honorable Sikera.
Mine is not a question, I need a document.
I didn't give you time to speak.
So move with you.
Honorable Muswana, I didn't give you.
All right,
so. Your time, you will get this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, first of all, I would like to commend the Chief Executive Officer and the Chairperson for this presentation. But during the presentation, you know, you made mention of the coffee table, you know, books which are selling like cakes. I'm just wondering if you could have brought a few for the committee to see, because you are just theorizing to us. We would like to see, you know, that long walk to freedom, so as to enjoy it. And a second question, when it has been addressed about the two presentations, the third one was, you speak of the youth camps, international and local youth camps, moving exhibitions. I wonder if you have a plan to try and go to all the provinces, because, you know, Nelson Mandela was an icon to the whole of South Africa. You have gone to Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Western Cape, Eastern Cape. I just want to propose that you think of even those other provinces which are not included here. And while you have been just appointed not long, but I'm interested in, well, maybe this may not be you speak of the challenges, which technical challenges, which you say they've been addressed by your strategic partners. Well, if you think that one is too technical for us to understand, it's fine. But I was just interested, which were those challenges which were facing you? And the last one was, you speak of that you have taken some disciplinary action, which is a very good thing, for some of the things which we found they were not right. You were appointed on the 1st of November 2013. It is to be commended that already the things that were not right, you managed to take some disciplinary action. Were this disciplinary action based on what you found previously, which was not in order according to the audit? Thank you.
Thanks, ma'am. It was Swana. You?
Thanks. The first one I'm partly covered because I needed to talk to the international issue. But allow me to thank the presenters first for the document in front of us. Although I'm screaming that mine is missing some pages, I'm sure I'll get the correct one after. That's why I was like saying, hey, could I be given the second one as well to understand exactly what I have only one document which is not complete and I don't have the second one. And I was the first person to arrive here. So I was, thanks, that one is covered. But secondly, you see, Utata Madiba, maybe it's not going to be easy for even you to understand how this Utata is to every person in South Africa. It's, you know, it's like he lives with us. He's in our houses. We can't just put it in words. But Utata is one person who is respected for what he did. And he's even respected by very young kids. You won't believe it if I tell you of it. 2 years, is it 1 year, 10 months? These days it's like, Ndela! And then we don't understand what this Ndela is in the house. It's Mandela, you know. It's like, so because this icon is very important, we want to plead with you because you are entrusted with this. We can see that the museum is going to take this forward. And of course, to add to what she said, we understand that was an international icon. Definitely, we cannot put him here. But do we want him in all the provinces in order to spell them to you? Gauteng, Northwest, Limpopo, Free State, and KZN, we were waiting. Any time frames? Can we be promised that, hey, you can await your turn so that we can move with you? Yeah, I think those were the first two. I'll come back later. Thank you. When I have the two documents.
Yeah, well, we just note what members say because we're going to respond after the tea break. So, member Tata Korai.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for presentation. What is the museum is doing to ensure that their targets, their planned targets are achieved or are met? Really, to me, the presentation is silent on this matter, and maybe the presenter is aware of the concern from the AG. So I just wanted to ask that one question. Thank you very much.
That is Stella, and then Honorable Van der Berg.
Thank you, sir. I must thank you, CEO and the chairperson, for this document. It's quite straight and forward and understandable when explaining and making your presentation. Quite a few things that one needs to check out with you. One comment I would like to make is that I think it's not the first time that we receive a presentation. If it is, then it's okay. That's the only part that I would forgive. But the gentleman who requested to be forgiven, I didn't see. Before forgiving him, I want to see him. I must also register the fact that the document is not, you know, pages are not numbered, and please, it makes it very easy for us. We have been saying this to those who have been constantly coming.
Hello. Did did you refer that first presentation when the Nelson Mandela Museum delegation was here and the presentation was not up to standard and then we sent them back?
Yes, yes, I was here, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I've just mentioned the fact that the pages are not numbered and please take care of that next time. It's important for the committee to refer to the pages rather. The second one is something that is like missing for now, which is organogram that we always want to relate, you know, the relationship between especially the management itself and the decision-making body, that is the council itself. So we would like to see that kind of relationship. So your organogram should probably talk to that as well when you have it, because I don't see it here. You will stop me, Chair, if I talk too much here. But on your vision and mission, it's quite interesting to the last point, it looks like, yes. Promote sustainable community development and self-upliftment through partnership with local municipalities and beyond. I don't understand beyond. I accept it, but I would like to know more about how far beyond. And the interesting part in that point is this sustainability on community development. I wonder if one day would probably see, you know, practical examples, you know, that are roping the and inviting the community participation or public participation into some of your programs, so that, you know, we witness, you know, that you mean it when you say promote that sustainable community development. If you could just indicate how do you actually really do it now, even if it's not enough. Yes, and on your lead programs, 2012 and 13, conversation, Mandela, and this one is actually not very, very big, but it's quite important. You talk of Mandela and the Thule exhibition, and it's quite interesting, you know, to see both and others, you know, other former presidents, you know, twined up together, but this is not very clear to me, you know, of what it entails onto this point. And I would like to actually check out the actual relationship between this museum and that one of Luthuli, if one could probably really give a highlight a bit on. Can I probably just stop there and wait for another window, if there is any?
Honorable you have your pipe. Please give the other people also the chance. Honorable Van der Berg?
He was walking to Lithuania. I didn't know he was going to be. Roads up to nearby Kuno is quite good and
people can travel from Nelson Mandela Bay to Kunu. But I want to ask the museum people, we must market this very, very good. You know, we know about it, and we must try and ask people, they must make an effort. We know it's from the off the tourist roads. You have to make an effort to go there. So I believe with Vilakazi 3000, everything you have to gonna see there, it will be worthwhile going there. And for instance, you know, maybe government can get exchange stuff with maybe like big hotel groups or whatever. Link it to SAA, and you know, encourage people to go there. You know, I also want to add something. I had the privilege. I was already late in my 50s. Before I had the privilege to go with the committee to Albert Lekuli's grave and to Mr. Dube's grave. For me as an Afrikaner, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience to read what these great people have said. I didn't know it when I grew up because it was out of bounds for me. I was not supposed to know who they are and how they look like. But it was a wonderful experience for me, and as I go further in my political career, it's very good to learn from each other. So what I'm trying to say, I had the opportunity to visit that grave because I was part of a committee of parliament that went there. So there was no effort from my side. It was organized by parliament and everything. So we must market it. And I want more Afrikaners to go to all these heritage sites of the black leaders of South Africa, and that's the way we're going to learn from each other to help in this reconciliation, nation building, you know, to say to each other, Lethuli was a wonderful man. He wasn't the monster people told me when I was a young lad. They want to kill and eat white people. Do you understand what I mean? So we must make extra effort. And even also the overseas visitors coming to South Africa, make this a part of a South African experience. I know that a lot of the European and Asian, Japanese, Chinese visitors go to the Voortrekker Monument. And that's wonderful, because it's a wonderful museum. Forget about the baggage of the past. So we must promote our heritage sites and ask people to go there, and we must put everything in our mind to get people there. So it's wonderful that it is there, but we must do something to get people there. And when people are there, they must be qualified people to show them around. Everything must be neat like a pin every day. Just not a couple of workers hanging around there with a broom or one out of 100 days they sweep a bit or whatever. That's not the way. They must be proud of the workers. And I just want to say about this financial overview. It costs a lot of money to put it on the ground there. It costs a lot of money to upheld it. But we must also always watch administration, that the administration don't eat up all the money. The administration is not there because the administration has to be there. The administration is there to look after the Nelson Mandela heritage. Not other way around. They're not the main spanners, the main peanuts in the packet. So when it's balanced, these things, when it's money available, spend it correctly and make partnerships with people to encourage them, you know, to also take people there. I think talk to Colin Shaban of Jisha, if there must be ways and means inside the structure of government. Mm-hmm. You know, I sometimes get the idea that the departments of government working silos, not talking a lot to each other. You know, so to cut my story short, the ways and means that we can enhance this, and it cannot be one of the ten. People come back in England or in Germany, people must ask, have you seen the Mandela Museum? It's wonderful. That's the main thing I want to see out of this effort. And I'm not even from the ANC, I'm from the DA, but I'm a proud, I'm a proud South African.
He's coming, we talk.
No, man. No, man. Honorable Van Aberg, in this committee, when we walk in this door, then you leave your bag there at your office. Honorable Tata Mavunda?
Chairperson, just a bite of little things, yeah. The first one, it has been indicated here that the chairperson has just assumed the office maybe on the since from the 1st of November, am I correct? And then the Nelson Mandela Museum probable might be consisting of two people maybe, the chairperson and the CEO. If it is somewhere being not indicated that the council consists of so many people, and who are those, their responsibilities and so on. Because if this is a new council, probably the committee should be knowing them, who are those consisting of that, unless otherwise chairperson. The second one, it's... It has not been numbered, those pages, no? But somewhere it is still talking about the Bunga upgrade. It's a continuation where there are some points made there. In that page, I think you need... the presenter needed just for you to simplify this for us so that we can understand exactly. Because one bulletin is talking about the commencement, the upgrade tender, valuing that amount, millions. And then there was a target date for the completion. That was October 2013. And you talk again about the estimated completion date. Just to simplify for us, because we might be not understanding the technicality thereof. And when you talk about it, the project is currently at 98% finished. That means it's nearing completion. But the bulletin underneath, it tells you some other stories. Unless I don't read it correctly, chairperson, because the project is also being currently delayed due to variation, still pending approval by the DPW, this kind of things. So we need just the clarity, what is the point thereof? And, sorry, it's me. Oh, sorry. Sorry, chairperson is accusing me in any way. Okay, let me not take much of your time, chairperson. Let me talk about this only, maybe. The performance review again. I don't know, the first bulletin. If we can talk to us again, you see, maybe just because you are working on these things on a daily basis yourself, you might find out you do understand, when we just put a point in the way that you do understand, but to other people might not be the same. Because when you talk about the performance targets accomplished 47% on that financial year, And then there is the misalignment between the strategic objective, organizational structure not supportive of business strategy. One can put so many questions there. So if you can simplify it for us so that we can understand and go with you related to, I know it is something related to what you have already put as the summary of key matters of emphasis on the other side, because this one is dealing with the finances. Lastly, Chairperson, I do agree with the presenter indicated here. Talking about the key matters of emphasis by the AGM. You see, in the second column, you're talking about the financial management and administration, supply chain management, irregularities, inadequate recording of information. Then you are saying this is what you are going to do as a new council. Let me indicate in that way. When you talk about the new council adopting zero tolerance to irregular expenditure and lack of discipline, this to me is just a vague statement. What are the strategies that you are putting on? What are the controlling measures, if one can ask? Because this is just a vague statement to indicate that I am saying I will not tolerate any irregularities anymore. But the how part of it, just please talk to us in relation to that one. And also, in the risk management plan development, you are just indicating that a risk champion has been appointed. Talk to us so that we understand which one are you preventing and which ways are you making. Do you have some plans that you are putting forward in order to put your controlling measures in a good way that you will not even tolerate what you have indicated, zero tolerance to irregular expenditure and lack of discipline. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mavunda. I will be the last before we break for tea. For me, since the presentation was happening 3 or 4 years ago, that I observed that this organization sitting with the challenge of capacity. In this sense of you don't have the right people in position with the right skills. That is my really observation. And secondly, the Department of Arts and Culture is not really assisting this entity of this museum on the issue of support with those gap of capacity. Referring to the issue of finance, you're getting funding, even the CEO is saying there was yesterday in Koha where they strike a deal where they will invest money. But if you didn't even yet overcome the challenge of capacity on those monies that you receive for projects, how will you implement this deal that you actually received yesterday from Koha? That's why I'm saying this morning when I start, why are the DDG not here? As he or she, you must make sure those things you were saying 4 years ago is supposed to be assisted with. Today we pick it up again on those issues. Please, those who are here, who are the eyes and the ears of the department, please go to give the message. Don't take us as MPs for granted. It's our obligation of the Constitution why we are here. We are not here to come to receive our allowance or to come to talk in the meeting just to say to talk. But we are here to play an oversight role as members of Parliament of South Africa. And in support, I must raise it here today. Yesterday, I debate in the house. Many people debate. We're always saying that we put a finger to one another. But here, we have officials who must implement what the politicians come on about in the budget votes, in the State of the Nation address, whatever and ever. Because we put policies in place, we put legislation in place, we put time frames in place, and all those measures. On the issue of the PFMA, there's no way. I am not bigger. You are not bigger, honorable members. Not even officials is bigger than the PFMA. Those people who was not actually spending the money in the correct way, they must be followed. The PFMA is clear. If you spend money irregularly, fruitless, that person must take responsible for what he was doing wrong. Never mind you was disappearing out of the Nelson Mandela Museum, but the law ends very long. That person must be followed. Also, other point I want to ask, does this museum have a CFO of a person who is dealing with the finance? Because the CEO can't be the referee and the player when it comes to dealing with the finance. You must have a CFO, the person who is dealing, so that we can take that person direct responsible on the issue of finance. The issue of the projects not taking off, I know the most buildings and whatever museums and buildings of departments is falling under Department of Public Works. Honorable members, I want to propose that we must have a joint meeting with the Portfolio Committee of Public Works. That is overdue. I mean, the DG raised 2 or 3 years ago, and when he came in the Department of Arts and Culture, that he faced also this challenge. But he came up with a measure, but that measure is not, it's part of a solution, but that measure is not overcome this thing. I mean, it go too far. Today we pick up by the Nelson Mandela Museum, that they face also the challenge on the issue of projects be delayed because of approval by the Department of Public Works. And then we go on to the other slides where they say they have a challenge on the technical when it comes to Kuno upgrade. This is always about the structures. So, Public Works is the one that we're facing the challenges on the issue of museums. It's not that there's no money. It's the issue of approval and monitoring of Public Works. The other one we want to raise is the issue of the MOU. The issue that Honorable Van der Berg was raising, different departments do things on silent in their corners, and they're not liaising with one and another. So I want to raise the issue of make the proposal if there's not an MOU, not an MOU just on paper, an MOU in the issue of implementation as well, between Department of Tourism and the Department of Basic Education. Because we don't want to, I know I will make Nikki now cross. We can't let our children also be teach about Jan van Riebeeck. We must, Nelson Mandela was 1994, be elected the first black president, and it must become in the curriculum of the school. So there must be a partnership, and it's not only an icon of Eastern Cape. It's an icon of, you agree with me, Nikki? is an icon of not only for the international, he's an icon. We must first start in your own country.
Yeah.
He's an icon of South Africa. And it's where our children, grandchildren, must start to learn about their own leaders of their own country. I want to stop there. There's many things I want to raise. Maybe when we have the after tea, when you respond, maybe they will still abide. Then we can follow up on things that we want to. So we will break for tea for 10 minutes and then we come back.
When I come down to you, please, my family, I'm in the hall.
My dear, what happened to you?
What happened to me? You were in a meeting.
What happened to you and me? I was still there. I'm missing the ass now. Please, give me that. Hello, my dear. How are you? I'm good, I'm good. Don't worry about this one, man. You've seen a lot of them.
I can't hear you.
No, the tickets where
the
tickets? I incomplete tickets.
No, remote. Yeah, where are you?
You done it.
What, Korea?
No.
Come on.
No.
You taking care of yourself?
No, I just choosy.
I can see. It's wise.
Yeah. I want to live long.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Thank you. can go and talk to the technical things. It's also, for example, really, I cannot. If I find the technical thing, I can see the problem. I like it.
No, that is no. Sorry to alert you. It is really to inform you guys that the packets are available at the computer.
I think we're going to finish early, right?
Just last one. Thank goodness.
So, how long did you hear?
I don't know why. It's always freezing in here.
Thank you, honorable members, and we will hand over to the CEO and the chair on the questions and comments be coming from the portfolio committee members. So over to you, CEO.
Thanks, Chair. Once more, apologies for the as tendered by my colleague from DC in relation to the two presentations. It was not intended to be two presentations. The first question, it relates to the Long Walk to Freedom booklet, which the Honorable cited that you want to see. Yes, we do have honorable members of committee. That is one of our fundraising strategy. We're selling the books, but we may present one just to be seen. but others have got to be paid for. That booklet, it cost 260 rand, some of that. It's costing 260 to 270, some of that. Furthermore, thanks, Madam MP, for commending the presentation. that has made us, you know. Do you have a plan to go to all provinces? Yes, as you can see from the presentation, we kind of going to all provinces, but we are hamstrung by budgets. Sometimes the budget finishes off before we can stretch out to other provinces. You can see our footprint, Mpumalanga, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, I'm not too sure how many of head. We still, that is our kind of plan. Furthermore, that will be covered from the point of view of the new strategic planning session as envisaged and as being driven by the new council with a new vision. There are certain strategic issues in relation to the coverage of South Africa at the breath of the button now. Rather than being too mechanistic and physical, now we'll be too IT-related of some kind, but with that we'll be capable of pervading the entire country within a short space of time. So those plans are in the pipeline, and they will have to be embedded in the processes of the new strategic planning session and stuff like that to start this March. Technical challenge in Kunu upgrade, it has been asked on by several members. With regard to the Kunu upgrade, the budget is with us. In-house, as the chairperson has correctly put, we've got a capacity constraint in terms of the engineering skill. We don't have a person that deals with engineering, so we depend here and there. At some point, we approached the Department of Public Works, the provincial one. It assisted us with the drafting of the tender document, the tender advert. We did advertise, but when we sought support in relation to site briefing session, they'd be there, evaluation process, they'd be there. They didn't want to be there. They stayed away. We subsequently approached the National Department of Public Works. The National Department of Public Works said, no, we won't assist you. Transfer that money to us, which we rejected. So they didn't assist us. Then that tender we flighted on paper, it was challenged by the tenderers. Those professional teams of architects and engineers, the tenderers themselves, and they reported us and to their professional board. That professional board wrote to us citing the illegalities around that kind of a tender and so forth and so forth. We subsequently cancelled the tender. That's why we took the route of approaching Kuga to say, Kuga, can you assist us in the development of the advert, in the development of, in the commissioning of a management consultant. Once we can commission a management consultant, we're fine. We will not drown. We will swim now. So that's the agreement we've reached with Kuga, and Kuga is going to do that at no cost to the museum, because we had to put a very, very strong argument with the chairperson yesterday in the Kuga offices in PE. So that one is a done deal, it's sealed. They will be doing that, assisting us, flighting the tender, coming to our briefing session, a technical person from Kuga coming to our briefing session, on the evaluation session, the technical person will be part thereof, on the adjudication. The person won't be a member now, but the person will be just a technical support person, or else they will give us another person who can be a member. Those are the kind of the strides that we have taken in relation to the communal upgrade. It will be swimming now, honorable members. Disciplinary action. Yes, there had been a lot in relation to the abrogation of the control systems within the institution, and that had been happening for very many consecutive years in the institution, and such irregular expenditures, disciplinary action had been taken place. So it's work in progress in relation to those previous irregularities. May I highlight the fact that though irregular, I'm still new in the institution. I'm a year. The chairperson is months, about 3 months. So aggregating that, we all knew in the, we both knew in the institution, but these are the measures that we have taken. Honorable chairperson, I couldn't get the honorable member what MP Lower was asking. I couldn't scribe anything. Maybe perhaps you will relay at some time. Can I?
Can you repeat it? Can you repeat it, Honorable Swana?
I'm a philosopher. Sometimes you can't. It's very difficult to hear what philosophers are saying. A philosopher in the making. But actually, I think we have responded to, I thought we have, because my question was time frames as to when are you going, we understand your international, whatever you're doing there. But we wanted to find out, when are you going to go from province to province, including mine, Limpopo, because I was like looking and thinking we are like not taken seriously. And Utata, I was stressing that Utata is like a father to all of us. And maybe you didn't understand, because I even went down to a 1 year, 10-month child. Who will, man, Mandela, man, as young as he is. So we need you to reach down there, please. That's what I was saying. No. Humbly so.
Oh, thank you, Chair. I think as the honorable member has alluded, that has been addressed. Thanks about that clarity. The next set of questions. What is NMM doing to ensure that targets are met? In relation to that issue, that is why we were saying, the presentation is saying, comes March, we're starting a fresh new strategic planning session that will translate into the development of an aligned APP, that will translate into a development of a new vision by the new council, which will translate into the development of a new organogram that talks to the vision in support of the strategic plan of the institution. So we think that plan, with that plan, we'll be capable of striking the right alignment between the strategic plan and the APP. another question.
Sorry, Chair, can I add more to what he was saying? Only to add more to it. Chair and honorable members, one other thing that we have observed as a new council has been kind of a organizational structure that doesn't have skills, which you'll find out is more often of a round peg in a square hole, as the chairperson was saying. We also saw that within our first meeting in November or December. Then I was worried, and then I also asked the performance contract whether they were signed. They were not there. Thus, I indicated to say that once we've got a strategy, that strategy will inform us what type of organizational structure that needs to be supported, so that all those costs that we are complaining about are covered, so that we don't have people, whereas we don't know those people what they are going to be doing. And two, what will be their job description, so that we're able to align such a job description with their AP, with the APPs, what needs to be developed. And also, reviews must take place each and every quarter, and monthly reports are supposed to be submitted, so that by the time we're sitting within that quarter meeting of council members, then we are able to be informed and be appraised about the organizational performance in terms of a collective as a whole in the structure. Another thing, most of them are towards the end of a contract. Now we are reviewing whether that person has performed well or not, and especially when we're looking at the audit outcomes and other things that have been reported to the council. Because even if you can look at the close-up report of the previous council, it is a report that when it was delivered on our induction day, I never slept that night. I was saying I've got a lot of work to do as a chairperson, then it means I've got to clear my mind so that within 1 year, because remember, we are there for 3 years, and then after 3 years, those years, they run fast. Within 1 year, you should be able to say, this is our plan as a council. Thus, in our meeting, we've already discussed that within those subcommittees, each subcommittee must come with its own plan, how they will address certain organizational inefficiencies. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson of NMM. Back to you, Chairperson of the meeting. These other are comments which have been taken into account. We'll improve. It was about page numbering. It was about organogram not included. It was about vision and mission, not understanding the meaning of beyond and beyond. I wanted to look into that vision and read it so that I can, because that beyond is what I said, meaning I want to contextualize within the entire vision. The last bullet, promote sustainable community development and self-upliftment through partnership with local communities and beyond. That beyond accrues to the fact that we are a national museum. Honorable member, we are not a local museum. In spite of the fact that we're talking to a partnership with local communities, the beyond accrues to the fact that we need to pervade the entire South Africa. Thank you, Honorable. There was a comment about practical examples, re-community upliftment. I'm not too sure which Honorable member asked, but it was around there. In that light, Honorable member, we do train community members on tour guiding. Having trained them in tour guiding, we do assist them in, for example, there was a group of 15 that was trained in the previous July, August, a group of 15, they were trained. Maybe perhaps in a month or 2 months' time, there is another group of 15 who are going to train as tour guides. We further go beyond. Last week, the group that was previously trained on tour guiding in that July, August last year, last week we had called all the relevant stakeholders, your DGI, your economic affairs in Eastern Cape, your Eastern Cape Parks and Tourism Agency. They were being mentored on the establishment of a cooperative, because we want them to run their own cooperative. So those are the community upliftment programs, honorable members, we're dealing with. We also have, it's a pity I'm not carrying my laptop back, we also have an in-house leatherworks project. People coming from that
COVID. CEO, please. I was just, when you were saying that the museum is not only for that area, it's for the whole South Africa. But if we look where the museum is, what is the word, interest, interested or Yeah, of Alitated. It's in that area where Mandela was born. So there's no way you, that's why I'm saying charity begins at home. And then you go further. So there's no way. I mean, I was so embarrassed when Mandela passed on and they was arranging for the funeral. There was not enough accommodation in that area for the people who want to attend the funeral. It's not, empowering is not empowering in silence. When the state comes with infrastructure development in a particular area, then they say the local content is only cleaning and catering on the issue of procurement. That is not empowering. Empowering is where you really see a change. So I really want to beg in the Nelson Mandela Museum. I know we Rome was not built in one day, but at least we must start somewhere. And I understand that you're saying you are just a year there, and the chairperson is less than a year there. But I hope in your strategy you will turn things around, that we don't have that mentality in saying that we can't empower our people. People lose patience. I mean, the most people who attend the funeral was not the people from that area. It was people from outside. And therefore, accommodation was important. I was one of them who sleep in the airport because there was not accommodation. So really, let us change that around, because that place will definitely grow in the future.
Thanks, Chairperson. There was a comment that pertains to partnerships, relationships with other museums. In that light, yes, we do that exercise. For example, in one instance, the Nelson Mandela Museum CEO had a session with the CEO of Robben Island. We agreed in principle that the Robben Island Museum should not be talking in silo, talking about Robben Island solely, because the life history of Nelson Mandela is not confined to Robben Island solely. Much as the museum won't talk the life of Nelson Mandela in Mthatha solely. We agreed in principle that we need to have joint some kind of marketing cooperation whereby our citing to the CEO, and we agreed in principle that in those ferry boats there are TV screens like this. They featuring the Robben Island. I was saying to the CEO, I would love to have just 20 minutes in each and every 2 hours whereby we would be flashing Nelson Mandela Museum. And Nelson Mandela Museum will reciprocate that by flashing the Robben Island in our screen when our Bunga, whatever project is finished. We agreed in principle, we're currently drafting an MOA, read that issue. And at some point, honorable members, NMM was summoned at Luthuli. In that meeting, the SG was saying he is pleading unto us not to operate in silos as this museum. He was requesting us to cooperate. I cited this project, and the SG was so excited. I was saying, no, this is what we are already doing as but it's not solely confined to that. With regard to Iziko Museum, we are having this partnership called MOA. It's about education, around education. It's on the Heritage Department. I remember in this week I was signing that MOA between the two, whereby there'll be that kind of a cooperation. It will not be confined to those museums solely, honorable members. It will stretch, but that's the beginning. We're beginning at that point. Kunu, out of tourism route, it was the honorable
I don't know whether I this is the correct perception of your kind of deliberation. Kuno out of the tourism route. If that is the correct perception, to me, I hold a different view. Kuno is right at the epicenter of the tourism route, because Kuno is on N2. N2 comes from, I can take as far as BE. It goes right at the center of Kuno to Mthatha, the city, and the access to the museum, it's fine. We've got a surfaced road. From the main road, it can be a kilometer from the main road to the Kuno site. And we're planning to have these multimedia screens, you see, right at the off-ramp or detour. We're planning to have that multimedia screen. It is in that screen that will be featuring Nelson Mandela Museum. At the bottom there will be featuring your Luthuli, your Robben Island, your family museum in Vilakazi, and so forth. They will be running there at the foot, running there. But on the main screen, it will be the Nelson Mandela Museum, whereby we'll be addressing the issue of these cooperative partnerships with other institutions within them. The next lot of questions inform all council members. Who are they? I don't know whether I should do it. I can relate, but I don't know. And then maybe perhaps a document to follow to the administrator of the committee.
Can maybe just mention the names, but it was sent most instructed to the committee secretary.
I will do that. Thank you, Chair. Shall I proceed? Technicality on the Kuno upgrade. I think about 3 MPs asked that. The technical challenge. The technical challenge, I was citing that we don't have a person who is engineering in terms of skilling, because that is not the core business of museum in general. When, unlike a municipality whereby we should have an engineering division. So, it's not around that. The technicality around, there was something like Department of Public Works. The technicality around the variations. As per the contractor submitted variations to the Department of Public Works by September last year. Had those variations been approved at that point in time, the contractor would have finished by December last year. But those variations were not approved by Public Works. What those variations are, they relate to one, the pulley mechanisms within the windows. The windows of that building is an old building and it's got those old windows. They are pulling like this, pull down, pull this. Inside those windows, there are pulleys, if we know pulleys and weights. There are pulleys and weights inside the windows.
Sorry, honourable members, can you try not to go to the
Thanks. So, it's around that, on the windows. Secondly, it's the kitchen cupboards. They were not there on the scope, together with those pulleys. They were not there in the scope. Thirdly, it's the kind of, I would say, sanitation seats, those seats in the sanitation rooms. According to the plan, they were like this, but downstream they discovered that they should be like this to augment the architectural heritage, whatever. So those were the variations. The last set is the fire extinguishing mechanism. So the fire extinguishing mechanism, it was water, but because that is museum, it had to be changed to be gas. rather than a meeting water, it should emit gas because it will destroy the museum artifacts. Thank you. Zero tolerance to irregular expenditure, to irregular whatever. What are the control measures? One, the institution is in a process of reviewing all its current policies just to kind of bridge the gaps here and there where there are gaps in the policies. So we'll be capable of strategically ensuring that zero tolerance is addressed. The next lot, NMM has chain of capacity. NMM has the chain of capacity. I think that was said by the chairperson. Chairperson, you picked it. NMM has got a myriad of capacity constraints. If I may be precise and be open and frank in that light, that institution was that institution in terms of recruitment from its initial inception, recruitment was done in a fashion that is not commensurate with the service delivery of the institution. So there's a lot of capacity constraint, more in relation to the recruitment of managers. That was not done as a good exercise. So we're still having that kind of a challenge. There's lack of skills and competences, more at the level of management in that institution. So, Chairperson, you picked it correctly. Chairperson also commented that the institution needs to have a CFO. I think that is the thing that is currently under discussion in the current council, and the current council is also alluding to that, because they merged corporate services and finance to have executive corporate services instead of sticking to the treasury regulation. Having a CFO that is distinct from the corporate services function. As a consequence, in relation to labor matters, the institution is lagging far behind, because corporate service function in specifically HR issues are submerged under finance, because they are being led by a finance person. They are submerged and they are not taken care of. They are not, you know, receiving the right attention. They are by the way. The last issue, the chairperson of this committee, of the meeting, was this one is just a way forward. The portfolio committee joint meeting with GPW. Another comment by the chairperson, partnership with the Department of Basic Education and Tourism. Once more, chairperson, we also have a plan in our institution regarding a cooperation between the Department of Basic Education. But those are the things that will surface in the new strategic plan. It's something that are being mooted now. I think that's all. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, can I add also other things that were, I should think they were not well addressed? I'll start at the bottom. You also talked about tourism. We've got a very active partnership with the Department of Tourism and Parksport in the Eastern Cape. If some of those members that attended the funeral, you could see the pages that were flowing with Madiba, and they were written tourism. We were running with them in various aspects. Even when I was also talking over the TV about programs and other things, they were always there and assisting us behind closed doors. And also even with the tour guides, they are the ones that are assisting us in the training of tour guides, even if there are new modules that are coming in. There's also some suggestions that I should think Honorable Member Van der Beek talked about linking up with the airlines. We have identified five the biggest airlines that we want just 20 minutes when you are cruising inside the flights, 20 minutes of even in the SAA to have Mandela story and the museum and everything, so that it can be showed even when, like Emirates and other biggest one, we are negotiating that it's in the stages of finality to say if they are saying yes, what will be those kind of nitty-gritties of the partnership or MOU between them, whether they would want us to pay or it would be, because we're also saying to them that it would be a marketing strategy so that people can get into their cabins and prefer to fly SAA and maybe other ones, because there is that kind of coverage about Mandela within those airlines. That has been also discussed within the new council. Another aspect, it was risk management, I guess. The CEO didn't answer it very well. You know, a risk management plan has been developed. That risk management plan, it's a process where the staff has gone through a process of identifying possible risks and the risks that will affect their units in terms of the agent, in terms of the units of the organizational structure, like in the heritage content, in the organization itself, within the finance, and also look at internal controls, because one of the audit outcomes within the AG's report was weak internal controls. That's why we are saying with the new organizational structure, we must separate delegation of duties so that the CFO doesn't become the very, he's a referee and a player. Mm. Because at the end of the day, you cannot separate, there's no demarcation between what is supposed to be controlled by who. Thus, with this risk management plan, it will address all of those matters of emphasis that have come out of that. Also, with the risk management plan, the CEO talked about the champions. The champions, each unit must identify champions that will be each week to look at and track, you know, the migration of those risks that have been identified, 5 to 10. The first five ones are the critical ones that we need to address as soon as possible, so that within one quarter, as the council, we are able to evaluate and say, at least you have moved, also with the internal auditors that are already there. I'm planning a meeting also with the AG. We've got a young AG that has been appointed there. When I was presenting in another forum, we talked about a lot of things that need to happen within the Eastern Cape. And also he is available, he is young, he's committed to the Eastern Cape. He even said that he hasn't come to fill the shoes of the old one that was there. He's a new person, and I should think he's vigor. I like it, because I also presented some issues of Nelson Mandela. Then we're going to be sitting down so that they can offer support to us, and we come closer to them as Auditor General and our internal auditors that are supposed also to assist us internally. Because one thing that I discovered, even with the council, was the issue that the very internal auditors, I guess, you know, most the consultant, once they see that at the top, there's no one who's got a know-how on how to monitor them, they can get out well easily within certain things, if there's no one that makes them to account. So we're having standing meetings with the internal auditors so that they can assist the museum and also account on various things that needs to happen for the value of the money that we're paying them. I should think that was those things that I wanted to to highlight so that they are clear to the members. Thank you, Chair.
I have to check because we still had an agenda point on the agenda. It's now 25 of 23 minutes past 12. And we have a sitting this afternoon at 2 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken.
Two o'clock,
yeah. And people must have their lunch. As mommy was saying, the food we receive is not healthy. And we must let members get some lunch. Not here, your own pocket. honorable members, I will give you half past 12, we must be finished with the questions. So Honorable Van Skalkwyk, and then Tata Mavunda, those who want to do follow-ups. Honorable Boswana, you want to, Honorable Foni, you want to follow-up?
Yeah, you want.
You third, and then Honorable Korai, one? Okay, those three members.
Thank you, Chair. I missed the questions during the first round, so I'm glad for this opportunity. If the Nelson Mandela gets a budget of plus minus 19 million rand, if I'm correct, and I just can't see how you can operate without a CFO with such a budget. That's the first thing. And then the second, 47% of that budget is being absorbed by human resources. In other words, salary, etc., etc. I would like to know, in short, who are your workers? Not who are your workers, but what positions do they have if you use 47%? Of a budget for salaries. What do they do? And then there was an audit finding concerning an amount of 3,859 rand approximately was charged for damages made by a museum official to a hired car. And the action plan says that the issue has been addressed under the Transport and Travel Procedure Manual. I would like to know what was the outcome? How was it addressed? And, yeah, Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Jefferson, it's just a follow-up on this one. I've used also the term the technicality of what is being presented to us might not be understood very well to other people like ourselves. We are not checking the pros and cons here, but what it actually means literally, so that we all understand when we talk about a thing. It's not just one likely just to ask a question for the good sake, but we need to get the content thereof. It is that one of the project itself and its budget and the tender that is just explained. The explanation is correct. I mean, he was responding according to his knowledge or the knowledge of the council, according to my understanding. But you see, the last bulletin is the one that might give one again a little bit of doubting, because we are still talking about the project currently is being delayed due to variations, as you explained, still pending approval by the DPW. Now, if you check again the third bulletin, where the actual date was scheduled for last year, and then now you are still picking it to the 31st of March this year. And then we have got a hiccup beyond your estimation to say that if, in other words, what is meant by the last bulletin, it means that if it is not yet approved by the variation is not yet approved by the Department of Public Works, it will mean that estimated completion date of 31st March 2014 will not be realized in any way. So in other words, you are still going to postpone, or what? Well, it's not a postpone. You extend that kind of time.
So that is what I'm trying to indicate. Not the real technicality thereof. What is contained by, why are you extending those dates? But what I'm trying to indicate is what is related to what the chairperson has indicated, and also Van der Berg, Honorable Van der Berg. You see, this Department of Public Works sometimes need a cooperation. Most of the departments and the portfolio committees are talking about the delays. Most of the things are not being done in time just because of the process that is being, you know, applied in the Department of Public Works. So that is what I was trying to indicate. The second one, the chairperson has elaborated in length in relation to the risk management and so on and so on. But one here I was trying to find out, what are the mechanisms that you are putting forward so that you avoid this kind of the thing? Because the AG has picked up the matter of emphasis in relation to the finances. So that was what I was trying to indicate, is that the new, if I can still call you, a new council is coming in, trying to shut up those holes. But what are the real mechanisms that you are putting on in order to avoid all this, and also to improve on what the AG has picked up? That was my question. So you might not respond exactly and give us the whole setup of mechanism that as a new council you are putting on. But at least, do you have this kind of a thing? Because if you talk about the irregular expenditure, one could even ask the question, even if you are new, as you are calling yourself by now, the staff members who have found not being, you know, complied maybe the PFMA and so on. What are you doing with those people? And what are you doing if you don't do directly to the person as a staff member? What are the mechanisms that you are putting so that you close that gap, so that in future we don't experience the very same things? That was my question, Chairperson. So probably you might not be in the position to respond, but this, I think, can help us as a committee to understand what you are doing as a new council. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll just continue from where he left. I was looking at the... It's on slides, what? There's no number here. But your financial overview. I was checking what you mean by programming exactly. Because it would like appear human resource, if you are referring to the people employed, they are taking a lot of money, 47%. And 27 also administration. So you add those two. So only 26 goes to programming. If I unpack programming, do I understand it? And it's not like it's more of payment than things happening out there. And I'm concerned. Thank you. Unless if I don't understand, please assist me to understand.
Thanks. I will be the last one, and I will not compromise on this one. I first want to start with Tata Mavunda stop. According to my knowledge, an entity must have a CEO, half of the board, And then they will have a CFO who will deal with the financial stuff. When there was a vacancy of the CFO or the CEO, that board to come in must fast track the issue of the CEO and the CFO, because those two is very important. As Oliver van Schalkwyk was saying, the budget you receive from the department is big, and you don't have a CFO. So the board is being appointed last year, November. We're supposed to hear today from the board chairperson, what is the plan of the Nelson Mandela Museum on the issue to fast track the issue of the appointment of the process of the vacancy of the CFO? We must hear that. Will you first go to your strategy session or what? But in the meantime, this entity is facing the challenge of the issue of the management of the finance. Because that CFO must also fast track the issue of the supply chain that you're talking about in your in this presentation. Because the supply chain is very key. Even in municipalities, if they don't have the supply chain policy of the supply chain section in order, you will get loopholes on the issue of procurement. So it is very key that that gap must be filled, and what will be the time frame to fill that gap on the issue of that, because the board is now they're fully fledged. I have two most important two questions. The issue of the Nelson Mandela Foundation. What is the relationship between the Nelson Mandela Museum and the foundation? Did they have a working relationship? Did they not duplicate? Did the Nelson Mandela Foundation and the museum not duplicate issues of? Secondly, is the issue of the Mveso. CEO, can you tell this committee members what is going on there? Of who owned the building? So that we can know. We don't want this thing of media stuff. I don't like media because I'm not a person who media. Really, I'm not even buying my local newspaper. So can you just tell us, really, because we see this thing every time in newspapers and TV, and because maybe this thing should not go to dry. Let me hear from the horse's mouth who working day to day in those institutes. You can respond, CEO and chairperson.
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. I'll start by the issue of the CFO. The CFO is there. There is an incumbent that is occupying the position. However, there's a disciplinary action that has taken place. So the CFO has been under suspension with investigation. And there's somebody, there's an incumbent that is acting. However, we voiced out this problem with DAC. They are sending somebody who's a professional who's going to be assisting us. Actually, there are three people. There's going to be somebody who's going to be assisting us at a financial level, which is CFO's office, assisting the one that is acting, to at a infrastructure level, to fast track the challenges that we are having and other dialogues that needs to take place between TAC and Public Works and us. And the third one was the IT specialist. We've got some money set aside amounting to $6 million for Ibunga. That's, if you looked at that slide, I can't remember, it was talking about digitalization and also looking at the IT structure and makeup of the museum, which is Ibunga, so that everything there is more IT than manual, or there's mechanization of some other kind of structures. That's, there's a CFO, but he's under suspension, there's investigation taking place, the disciplinary action that is taking place, there's somebody who's acting, but that somebody is not well groomed. That's why she has been sent for a training. And then also DAC is assisting us, is going to be sending us three people. One will be on the finances, and the other one will be on the infrastructure itself, and also there will be the IT specialist, that there's a tender that needs to be flouted so that the Bunga infrastructure also goes in the same kind of direction of some migration of certain systems that needs to be in place. And the Mandela Foundation and the relationship, CFO will talk to it, and the Mvezo issue also. And what else? And the risk management mechanism on your operation. I thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think, Chair, on the CFO matter, the Chairperson has explained it quite nicely. Oh, the only thing they
but why must we emphasize over and over? Now the chairperson responding on, we was not even aware there was a CFO. Now the chairperson respond to that and saying there is a CFO. He or she is now be suspended, but they put an acting person till the matter is be resolved. So that's what we want to hear. We as MPs must hear those things. That's why we are here. You can proceed as CEO.
You also made mention of supply chain policy, supply chain manager. Yes, the supply chain manager has been appointed. We have a supply chain manager. The supply chain policy, we do have a supply chain policy. It's one of those policies which are under review. We are reviewing all our 31 policies. So they will be due for council in the next council for approval. We do have draft policy documents currently. Nelson Mandela Foundation relationship. In that one, Chair, the office of the CEO, Nelson Mandela, did make strides. It might have been early last year. I tried to link with the office of the CEO of the Nelson Mandela Foundation. I couldn't get through because I was trying to link with the CEO through telephone. I had to get his email address. I emailed three letters to the CEO requesting a meeting to address issues which one of the honorable members did mention, the issue of the mandate, where are we, who is doing what. The essence of that meeting was to deal with that. So I couldn't break through up until, it might have been May last year, it came to the office of the CEO, Nelson Mandela Museum, that a new appointee had already been appointed, will be assuming duties by July last year. I had to wait for that period. The new incumbent came into office. Once more, the office of the CEO, Nelson Mandela Museum, tried to slot some kind of a meeting with the CEO, Nelson Mandela Foundation. After a lengthy period not finding him being abroad, we did meet. But in that meeting, we couldn't discuss because some of the board members had to come. We couldn't discuss this issue. So I had been trying to meet the CEO, Nelson Mandela Foundation. The issue was that this time is China, this time is, you know, and stuff like that. We have not yet met. The issue was to address the cooperation, mandates, and so forth. Mvezo, what's going on? With Mvezo, let me first read here. so that I can recollect all my facts. Verso, acknowledgement of Verso is a third site. As the museum, we acknowledge that Verso is its third site and is the birthplace of Madiba. Currently, no working relations with the site due to a misunderstanding between an 8 million fund which came from national lotteries. The new council has decided to embark on a revival strategy. Now, coming to that issue. When I came, I discovered that there is some kind of misunderstanding. I tried to strike a rapport between the office of the CEO, Nelson Mandela Museum, and the chief, and the rapport was established. However, on day one, on my arrival, assuming duties, the chief was there. It was around this 8 million. After a series of meetings, between the chief, I remember on the second meeting, I indicated to the chief that this 8 million was applied for by the Nelson Mandela Museum from the National Lotteries Board. It was approved, but it had not yet gone into the coffers of the Nelson Mandela Museum. There was some kind of a standoff between the then council. I'm informed it was the council as led by the then chairperson, Professor Carter Asman. It's years back, this thing. So there was that kind of a standoff around the issue of the ownership now of the physical land in Verso. And I'm made to believe that whilst they were there, they were sacked by Chief Zwelivelile. In that land, they were sacked to say, never come here, this is my grandfather's land. So if you did establish whatever in this, but this is you know, the situation. Then now, the museum council took a resolution of bringing back, not say bring back physical, not taking that money, saying to National Lotteries Board, well, because there is this standoff, don't give us this money. The money remains yours. We are giving it back to you. It must not be in our name as Nelson Mandela Museum. It must be in your entire kitty. So that is the situation around this kind of 8 million. In this series of meetings, I was talking about these five meetings, the chief was intending to get the money from the museum to be transferred to the trust, there's a trust there. So that didn't happen because the Nelson Mandela Museum no longer owns the money. I remember I arranged a meeting between the chief and the former chairperson. The meeting took place. Chief Zwelivelile agreed to all the issues which the former chairperson was saying. And then mine was to implement that agreement. The meeting closed. After then, at the point of implementing the agreement, the chief reneged on the agreement. I couldn't implement all those things because there were certain promises by the chief that he will give me certain documents and stuff like that and what have you. Because the former chairperson was trying to close that so that we can operate and we can cooperate. I don't know whether there's something left in that regard. Budget, 19 million. How without CFO, I think it's addressed. We do. What happened in relation to this CFO position? I am made to believe that initially a CFO was appointed, but with the passage of time, the CFO, over and above the CFO job profile, the CFO was loaded on the corporate services function, and the designation was changed not to be CFO, to be Executive Manager, Corporate Services. And with that loading on of these KPAs of corporate services, the salary was jacked up as well. That's what happened then. What do workers do? I'm not honorable exactly clear as to what that question solicits to surface. I don't know whether, but I don't think it's job profile or you want the structure. I cannot be capable, honorable, to offhand relay all the job profiles in the institution, but with those at high level managers, maybe perhaps I can mention a few. I don't know whether. Or that should be communicated in writing to the administrator. Okay. audit damages, an amount of 3,800, somewhere there. The first port of call to us as management was to close the gap at policy level, because there was a gap at the policy level. So the policy is under review. One of them that relates to this is addressing that in closing the gap. L2, who would be responsible in relation to in the event of the recurrence of this kind of happening? So it's kind of closing that gap. Honorable, I think if the Honorable MP, oh, through you, Chairperson, sorry to address the Honorable, apologies. The Honorable MP was not satisfied with the way, maybe perhaps I answered the technicalities, but as to how he shared the information, it's exactly as he put it correctly. Yes, we are envisaging a situation whereby the handing over won't be 31st March, to the extent that we're at management level, we were taking a decision that we won't be capable of relocating between now and July, because the AG processes will be commencing and all our documents and systems will be disrupted. So we would rather stay there until the finish of the audit. So even if the building is handed over by 31st March, we won't relocate. But probability is high that it won't be finished and handed over by the 31st of March. I think, Honorable Member, you answered it correctly. Sorry for miscomprehending your kind of a question. It's due to quite a number of variables. Maybe perhaps, yeah. What else? That is the technicality. Mechanisms to putting change the situation. What are you doing to offenders? I think that question was a question in relation to the irregular expenditure. All those. In relation to that one, honorable member, it is incumbent upon the CFO to charge the officials below him or her. If the CFO doesn't charge the officials below him or her, it is incumbent upon the CEO to charge the CFO. That's what has transpired. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I'm finished, Chair.
Before I thank you, I just want to hear from you, that building of Mveso, did it belongs to the Nelson Mandela Museum? The building. I just want to hear it. Just say no or yes.
Chair, let me put it this way. This block, this desk, was the then Mveso as established initially as an open air museum, which was established as a government building by government and funded by government. This building. However, this land site was personally owned by the father to that Mandela, which is Kahla, this site. But due to the notion of the development coming in, and there were other sites surrounding, but people had relocated to somewhere, there was a negotiation that this site must not be sold, this site, but inclusive of all this other big space, this other one. So, at the level of the development of the physical infrastructure, there's nothing in document, subject to correction by DAC, there's nothing in document that talks to this land, if I may put it, being in terms of documentation given to, if that is the right term, officially given to Nelson Mandela Museum. It remained as the then land plot that belonged to Kahla. And the government built the structure on Kahla property. It is in that light that the chief has got a claim to say, this is not government land. This is my forefather's property. Get out, Honorable Chairperson, the then Kada Asma. Get out with your team. That is the whole council. They chucked them off.
Yeah.
That's my understanding of the entire saga around Mveso. However, the office of the CEO had managed to strike cordial relations with the chief. We're having cordial relations and we're treating them like that.
I see the members are leaving, but we said we will let the point of the adoption of the minutes stand over to the next meeting. But I want to close the discussion now. As you know, members, the 5 years of our term of administration is coming to an end soon. So we will not have the next opportunity to engage with the Nelson Mandela Museum for this term of the 5 years. So therefore, we must make recommendations. We can do that as a committee for the next new members who will be members, we're swearing in as members of parliament, will become members of this portfolio committee. So our recommendation will be, I will do it on behalf of the committee, that the discipline committee relating to the CFO be frustrated as soon as possible. Frustrated. Yeah, frustrated. I did say that only. You know the school class now. And possibly finalize within the next 30 days. We can't leave Parliament an open book on the issue of this entity, very important entity. The partnership with the Nelson Mandela Foundation to be established as soon as possible. Lastly, on the issue of the Mveso, that Nelson Mandela Museum Board, included by the CEO, sending a full report on the issue of Mvezu to Parliament. So whoever came in who are new, they can just fast track the issue and so that you can move forward. Because they mustn't come here, they don't know what was discussed on the day, what is it, today? The 19th of February. Because when we came in this committee, when I was appointed in this committee after 2 years, after 2009, we picked up in V226 in a report that the previous portfolio committee of arts and culture was saying A, B, and C, and some of them was previous in that committee, they didn't say that. So we don't want those people who come in saying we were saying on the 19th of February A, B, and C, and then we didn't say that. That's why I made that recommendation. The report must be in on the 28th of February 2014, before the House rises and we leave in Parliament. On that, those first two points I raised. And also on the issue, the last one I also raised, so that we can see what is the content of that report, if it is possible. Yeah, that is the recommendation. I want to thank the CEO and the chairperson of the board who was newly appointed in 2013. Yeah, I'm sorry for you, but a lot must be still done in that entity. And please, if you must clean up the cockroaches, you must do so. Those cockroaches mustn't born new cockroaches. Please, we do it not for ourselves. We do it for the generation and generation. I was saying earlier this morning. Because you get sometimes officials who are stumbling blocks. And at the end of the day, they make you people who want to move forward failures. So on that note, thank you very much. Thank you very much, department. Thank you very much, honorable members, everyone. Have a good journey back. Take up the good work. May God bless you. Thank you very much, meeting sergeant.